Welcome to the Channel for Grace Uncut podcast. This is a deep dive into my life, my stories, my experiences, the things that I love to talk about, the things that inspire me, and my thoughts and observations about the world. This is a podcast where you'll mostly find me sharing myself uncensored, but where you will also meet amazing guests and hear about topics that will inspire you to keep learning, to keep searching for your truth, and to guide you to be unapologetically you. So welcome back, everyone. I am so excited today to talk to one of the coolest human beings that I have encountered this last year. His name is Dylan, and his website and his, what would you call it? Your business, your company, Human Design Maven, is your Instagram name, all that good stuff. But I am really excited to have Dylan here to talk about his experience with human design, which is something that I have been getting into this last year. I actually just took his course, DNA Alignment Academy, which was an amazing experience for me. I have been getting that itch to really dive into my human design, and this year was it. This year was the one for me to start to do that. So I would love for you to introduce yourself and tell us maybe a little bit about yourself, but honestly, the first question that I want to ask is, how did you discover human design, or how did human design discover you?
So this is such a good timing because this is about my 12th year anniversary of human design in the next couple of days, on the 10th or 11th of March. So 12 years ago, I was basically reaching my upper limit of being able to do the conditioned life. So I was in my second year of community college with this whole idea that I was transferring to a university and that I was going to do this whole thing. And it was all based on, you know, what the world that had raised me wanted for me. And I wish I had the ability to connect to that, but I wasn't. My energy was just bottoming out. I had no life force left. And I'd never felt like that before at 20 years old. It was a weird feeling. So something in me was clicking, and I was probably the only satisfaction as a pure manifesting generator that I was getting was going to the library and reading Carlos Castaneda books between classes. So I was diving into this fascinating world of shamanism and plant teachers, and not even really understanding what I was connecting to. It was just that's what drew me, you know, that's just what I found in the library that connected me to something. So that was on the frequency that I'm on, and my conscious mind didn't know it. So one thing led to the other. You know, I was breaking out of this conditioned shell. These books were opening me up to the spirit world, basically, and just it was making sense to me. And school was not. And one day I saw this image of this guy hiking in a jungle type thing, but the jungle looked very benevolent. It wasn't a scary, sharp, poisonous jungle. It was a very lush jungle. And I don't think I had seen that way before. And I was oh, I want to go there. That's what I want to be doing. And it was my first sacral response that I know of. It was to this picture. And I was oh, this is it. And I, as a 4-6, and being somebody who's externalizing, I started telling everybody about this picture. I used to work at a Pete's Coffee and Tea back in the day. And I was look at guys, I want to go here. I want to do this. And I was much more, a much more, I guess, lighthearted Piscean person back then. I think I've gotten through some Capricorn energy at this point. I was flipping around, showing everybody, and then the pieces started to fall into place. And I was given a way that I could go to Hawaii that looked just like this place in this picture, to work on farms for free and just get room and board in exchange. And so I just went. I bought a one-way ticket to Big Island, I didn't even tell my work, and I didn't give 2 weeks notice. I was afraid to tell everybody. Open solar plexus, kept it a secret until the very end. And then I just went and I spent a year on Big Island. And by the end of that year, like weird, uncanny, everybody kept saying, well, you made it this far. Why didn't you go to Kauai? Like multiple people were saying this to me. And I'm like, uh-oh, like spirit's kicking me even farther out into the Pacific. So I had literally just enough for this round trip ticket to Kauai. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go for a month.
Wow.
See what I can do. And I had a tent and a backpack, $0, a food stamps card that was empty anyway, and went to went to Kauai, camped around, almost got lynched by a bunch of Hawaiian guys one night because I slept on the wrong beach because I didn't know what I was doing, and basically they chased me down with dogs and cars, and I had to sleep in a horse stable, and a lot of other colorful experiences. Got to North Shore and met this person who was really intent on talking to me every day on the beach. I was like, okay, what? And then at the end of this interaction, the opportunity presented itself. He was like, you know, I have this friend that does this thing called human design. I don't get it at all, but you seem like the kind of person that would be into it. And I was like, okay, let's do it. You know, like, take me. So mm-hmm. He showed me my chart, and there I saw it on the screen. And I was like sitting in this hut, like, that's me. That's me. I just kept saying it. That's me. And there was this instant recognition. And I think it was another sacral response. It was just like, yes, this is correct. Like in a world where so many things are not in alignment, this is spot on. And it's like my whole aura just embraced it. And I don't think I even really listened to what the guy was even saying to me. Like he was trying to give me a reading at that point. And I was just like, what? Like I was just like so in the moment.
Yeah.
And then I kind of just went back to the real world and thought I could kind of tell everybody my experiences and they would be into it. And they didn't. Like people were really hard-headed. Mm. And it was disappointing to me. It was really, it kind of like crushed my soul when I first got back to the mainland because nobody was picking up what I was putting down. They were like, what kind of drugs did you do out there? You know, like that kind of stuff. I'd be like, don't you see how awesome I am? Like, you could be like this too. And I'm like, you know, I was still wearing, I don't know if you've ever seen the band Coco Rosie. I was like modeling myself after them, but.
Awesome though.
You know, 7 years went by. And I just trudged through the material world and like was not in college anymore, but just getting jobs and studying human design secretly, literally didn't tell a soul, didn't share it because I was immediately like put down when I started to in the first place. So that's kind of informed that period that I think is pretty unique to my process is I lived the 7 years of deconditioning before I even started telling anyone.
And right, which probably is the reason why you integrated it like so deeply into yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. Actually, for anyone that has no idea what's the 7 year like experiment, can you tell us what that is exactly?
So when the guy that brought this into the world, Ra Uruhu, or Robert Allen Krakauer, he said that in order to truly receive the benefits of a human design reading, for example, or to really, you know, get what this was presenting was possible, you would need a solid 7 years because all of the cells in the body renew themselves every 7 years. So the conditioning, like the old programs, the old beliefs, the old frequency of you, you can have an intellectual realization that there's changes to be made or there's more alignment that you could have, but to fully live that and have it informing your 3D reality in every breath you need to have it in your cells, and it takes a full cycle for that to take place. So you're going to get benefits immediately with human design, and there's a long game that few have, you know, the like commitment or whatever to play. But if you do, it kind of, like Ross said, it's a virus. It infects and takes over your life as an operating system, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, after a certain point, you're just living your design. And that's where I find myself 12 years in, is like this deep, deep level of relaxation, acceptance, and just knowingness that the design is going to take care of it all. Like, even when my mind is kicking and screaming and being open, emotional, you know, amplifying other people's emotions and thinking that I need to do something about it all. And that's the biggest illusion, that we think we need to do something about it, when in actuality, the 12-year mark really just brings me to a place of being like Zen, with knowing that my aura can take care of all of this life for me. Mm-hmm. And that it's not about micromanaging from the mind. It's not about scheming and strategizing and plotting and, you know, getting really deep into even things like desire or manifesting or all these things that, you know, can honestly take us outside of ourselves, ultimately, usually for reasons that we don't fully understand anyway. So it's like 12 years in has brought me a deep sense of like just peace, I guess.
I love that. I can tell you from my personal experience, when I finally discovered, I remember the first time actually that I discovered I was a mental projector, and it was actually my sister who had taken your course before I took your course. And I remember we both like were discovering it at the same time, and she was just kind of getting into it, and she pulls it up and she's looking at it and I'm looking at it, and I like, I have no idea what I'm looking at, you know. And she goes, she's like, wow, you're a mental projector. And I was like, what does it mean? What does it mean? You know? So she was telling me a little bit about it, and I saw it. I was like, what does it mean? No authority. I was like, what does that mean? Like, you know, and I had all these like questions, you know. And from that point, it was about really getting to know my own personal design and learning little by little what it actually means to be like a projector, a mental projector, having like no authority, you know, what does that actually mean, you know, like the soundboard. And I had this funny experience actually with my sister, where one time, and you know, because we're sisters, we have our ups and downs in our relationship. She is actually, she's a manifesting generator. So her energy is much different than mine, obviously. And we've had our ups and downs. And I remember there was one time where we were like, and this has been like normal for me my whole life, which I didn't really get it until I found out who I was in human design, was I always have to talk it out, like almost to like beating a dead horse with it, to the point where people are like, okay, like, you know, people get tired of like talking about it, but I just can't stop, you know, like every time that I talk about something, an issue or anything like that, it always helps me to understand myself better. And knowing that finally completely changed my life. Because I stopped, like I used to be so judgmental to myself, like there's something wrong with me, you know? And I feel like for me personally, the human design and understanding my type and strategy and all of that has also just relaxed me into this, there is nothing wrong with me. And when I keep, and when I remind myself that, I just laugh, like it's just a comedy to me now, you know, like watching myself be myself, like in the world, and, you know, just being the observer through it all just, I think, relaxes you so much. So I totally agree that that's what it can do for people, is like just relax you into being you. But yeah, again, there is that, like the deconditioning. So how would you explain to someone what does it really entail? Like what have you had to really integrate in your life to really fully be in your design?
That's a great question. So what I've noticed is that, you know, you look at your body graph and you've got these open centers, and these are the areas where your mind is going to freak out, you know, about life. That's going to cause these storms that have a certain frequency or a certain strategy behind them to get you to think a certain way or see something or make a certain conclusion. And all the mind is ever looking for is certainty so that it can stop fearing the future. You know, that's its whole like modus operandi. So I got to become very intimate over all this time with all these different, like this pattern that my mental storm will take on. And then being able to know, like, it's not my job to go fight the storm. It's my job to go do something productive while I wait out the storm. Or maybe not productive, maybe just completely surrender to it and just nap or just lay there or meditate or whatever. But I just got really good at seeing when there were periods of time in my own energy where I needed to not be reactive to what my mind and my emotions were doing. Because I have my personality sun is in gate 55 in the solar plexus. So I have like a super emotional mind. So my mind runs on a program that's more of the solar plexus anyway. So it's not logical. It's not very easy to talk it off a certain momentum. Like once it gets going with the feeling, it just wants to go, whether that's, you know, in any direction. So I had to get really good at both seeing the negative spiral and the positive spiral, because the positive spiral spirals into the negative spiral and they, you know, they're the same thing. And if it's the same thing, it's all the not self. So I had to be able to learn to discern that whole program that's always running and is really linked into what other people are doing, what other people are saying, the world at large, other people's energy in general, even strangers. That whole not self is just obsessed with everybody else's take on me, what people are doing, what's happening, what the potential threat could be, da 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 da. So there's that frequency. And then there are these moments where it's almost like the body is having a conversation with the universe itself.
I love that.
And the universe is kind of like the gatekeeper. It's opening something for you, or it's beckoning you to a certain direction, or it's communicating. So getting to know how those moments of the universe talking, what they feel like, what they look like, you know, when it's time to tune into that, when it's happening, it's going to look different for every design. And I right. want everyone to know that. Like, if I was splenic, this whole thing that I've gotten to learn about how it works for me would look very different. But for me, it's quite physical and literal. It's like looking for these moments where the universe is like, okay, you're in the zone, like this is the spot, now just wait and listen. And sometimes that is the uncomfortable part, because it's like you're stopping in the middle of the way that everything else is working and conditioned and going, and you're awkwardly waiting in some space or some situation or a conversation or something for an awkward amount of time. But just being willing to wait that 5-10, maybe it's an extra hour, you know, just to feel out that vibe, and then blunk, blunk, the universe just like opens something up for you. And it shows you, oh, that's what this whole thing is about. It's like the body actually does have an intelligence to it. And it's the same intelligence that's running life. And if you give your body and your mind enough time to sync up and your mind to shut up and relax, then this thing and all the its powerful signals and technology within the body just literally like manipulate the Maya, the reality. Like there's a connection there because they're the same thing. And then these doors open for you that teach you the essence of these times and living in the design. And it's not about being the top dog anymore. It's not about being in front of everybody and getting all the credit and living, you know, the conditioned, homogenized definition of what a life is. It's about finding this very subtle, beautiful, unique, poetic, artistic, just like miraculous path that's literally inlaid in the technology of reality for you because you're alive at this time. And it's so subtle and it's so ineffable. It's, you can't describe it. You can't really put words to it, but you can experience it. And that's what your human design is. So it's about this balance of putting focus on leaning into this mystical dialogue with the universe and also having the willpower, the patience, the willingness to fight on the front lines of your mind, which is a battlefield, like every day, every second almost.
You're talking to a mental projector over here. That's like my life. I'm like in constant, like, wait a minute, you know? But it's funny. It is really, really interesting. And when you're talking about the knowing of the body, which is one of, for me personally, is one of the hardest things. Like, I feel like my entire life, which is weird because you've said before that the open centers, although they try to define themselves, they really kind of already have this inner wisdom that when you tap into it, it's like you just know. But the funny thing for me is that I think because of all the conditioning that I've had in my life, basically telling me to live like a generator or a manifesting generator, like produce, you know, get to the mountaintop and like make all this whatever, you know, success and what it looks like. And you got to really show up for everything. And it's like all these workshops about, you know, like you're saying, manifesting. And it's so much that all of that like requires so much energy that is literally impossible for me to do, literally impossible for me as a projector, right? It's like the complete opposite of what I should do. But because of all that conditioning, my whole life, the hardest thing for me has been to tune into my body, which I feel isn't really like unique to me. I think we all have a difficulty connecting to our bodies because we've been taught to be so much in our head, to define everything through our head, to like make decisions through our mind, like to think it out and then, oh, we'll figure it out. The mind will figure it out. But the undoing of that is of course easier said than done. And that's why I totally can sense that like, this is a process that is gonna take time. And like I teach in my Moon Goddess training, I teach about like the seven laws of the universe and like hermetic alchemy and the nine dimensions and sacred geometry and how all that's connected to astrology and everything. And I feel like the wisdom is almost the same through all of these like, you know, powerful modalities where things take time. And because in our modern life, we haven't had since childhood the kind of parenting that now hopefully as people are learning more their human design and everything about who they truly are, and then also learning about their kids and like how to really guide children to really fully like step into themselves and their own design, like we didn't have that. And so as adults, it's like trying to undo this like mountain or like mountains of things that we've been taught that like they're so not the right thing for us. And so that undoing process is huge. But the moment that you do start to tap into your body, when you were talking about it, I was feeling this sort of expansive energy, like I was getting like tingly through my body. And I could feel like what it feels like, which I've experienced this now, you know, moments of it when I listen. and it feels like very expansive. Like all of a sudden, it's like you're blending or like merging with the universe. And then you don't have to do anything, like, because then you're in this flow that it'll just take you exactly where you need to go. That's kind of what like it brings up for me when you say that.
Yeah, it's, we're living art, you know, we're creations of an improbable and miraculous existence. And it doesn't have to be about survival. It doesn't. We are so deeply traumatized into feeling, thinking, believing, knowing, trusting, you know, that the very core of everything is this continuous return to the need to maintain our survival every day. And that outside of that, little is possible. When actually we're living in bodies that know how to navigate this plane quite well. These are nine-centered bodies. This is the bonus round of the end of the cross of planning before it all gets wiped out. The game board is literally saying, here guys, you know, you get like 200 year freebie to get the best of out of these bodies before we, you know, reshuffle the deck and the raves come and it's a completely different thing. It has nothing to do with us. We want to feel like we're involved in that. We're not. We're here for us right now. In order to really enjoy that, your mind has to take that passenger seat and actually make room for how much genius is inside us. When it's not all formatted and focused and like myopically dedicated to needing to survive and all the things that branch out of that, which is a myriad things, then, you know, you get to surprise the universe. And then it becomes this like call and response that's not just about deconditioning or, you know, you're living your mythology. It's the best way to put it. Like, it could be a mythology that no one ever learns or knows. It doesn't matter. You're living it. And it's recorded in your design. And when you die, that's going to go back into the crystals of consciousness at the core of the earth. And it's, you know, you're literally written in the Akashic record now because you live something unique. A lot of people won't have that. You know, their lives will just kind of be recycled for something else, perhaps. No shade, like no offense or anything. It's just that.
Or judgment or anything. I mean, I've really learned to like really let go of that, you know, and I see it now that I'm on the other side of a lot of like just deep, like very deep realizations or like epiphanies, right? Because I have I have the 64 and 63 in my personality, sun and moon, and then I have the 35 and the 5 in my design. My design is 63, 64, and then my personality is 35. So for me, those like epiphanies or like realizations in my life have come after I've realized the truth of something, despite any kind of like judgment I can have on anything that's going on in my life. The truth comes out at certain points, right? The doubt goes away, you know, but the truth is like so expansive. And I can give you a specific example. For example, my relationship with my mom has completely changed in the last few years. I actually, in realizing everything, you know, it was like, you know, as a child, whether it was conscious or not, and it was totally unconscious on my mom's side, there was narcissistic abuse. So a lot of like emotional abuse, and she's also a manifesting generator. So like trying to like make the kids be like her and like do everything like her. And it's like, there's no other, you know, fit in this box or else kind of thing. So it was very damaging, right? Emotional, everything. But when I started to tap into the real reason that why that was going on and like, understanding that I wouldn't really have learned about myself or gone on that hero's journey, right? Like the mythology of like discovering who I am, if I had not had those experiences to begin with. It's like they catapulted me to learn who I am now. And when I got to that realization, I realized that there's no attachment to me, for example, to my mom ever like reaching her enlightenment or like discovering who she is. Because at this point, I can see there's a lot of people in my life that are in that sort of category of like, they're just gonna live out their life, but never really reach a higher consciousness, you could say, self-consciousness, and that it's completely okay. And like, I don't have any more judgment or any kind of feeling towards it. It's almost like just gratitude for being alive and watching everybody else be alive and everybody else do their thing. And it's just, it really becomes a magical way to live when you sort of like free yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot less pressure for sure.
Yeah, it's been a quite a remarkable experience for me to even just start dipping my toes. I feel like with how I am, I just want to like take the rabbit hole and go deeper and deeper. And I almost like most of the time I kind of like really get ahead of myself, you know, and then I have to slow down and like, hang on, like one thing at a time. But it really has changed my life, even in the short amount of time that I've known human design, like night and day, like how I live my everyday life from the moment I wake up till the moment, you know, I go to sleep, how I take care of myself, like what self-care actually looks like for me, which is probably totally different than other people. And at this point, it's like, again, I don't judge myself for it anymore. You know, like the whole taking naps, you know, or like even this morning, like I woke up and I just recently got two puppies, standard poodles. So they're 4 months old and they wake up every morning at like 6 a.m. because they need to like go out. And so I used to sleep until 8, 9, sometimes even 10 every day. And that was like my routine. But since I got the puppies, I'm not able to do that. And so I'll wake up early. And by a certain time during the day, it's like, I have like run out, like completely run out of all the energy that I could possibly have had. And so those are the moments where now I've started to just let myself like, okay, time to go to bed, like time to turn it off. And then we'll turn it back on in a minute, you know, and the more that I do that, and the more that I take care of myself, and it's with naps, with like taking space, you know, choosing whether to go out or not, letting myself live in the moment. It doesn't matter what it is. It has changed my life because now I feel so much calmer to like confront life and to experience life. So it's a night and day difference.
Yeah, I'm curious, you know, you're sitting in front of a picture of the moon here, and yeah. One of the ways that I've heard other people do readings for mental projectors is kind of almost give them a similar strategy to a reflector, where they are looking at something in their life over the course of a moon cycle or multiple moon cycles to really see whatever they're going to see. And it's just interesting because you are the mental projector, yet there's this lunar presence when I'm looking at you. And I'm just wondering, like, what is this, kind of a tangent completely, but it links into your strategy and authority, but also, what do you think of the moon? Like, I've never been more perplexed by something so familiar as the moon.
I mean, honestly, like it's so crazy that you asked that question, because I literally run a year-long program called the Moon Goddess Training. And one of the things that I teach is, well, the moon phases. And honestly, I don't even know how I got into it. Like it just like one thing led to another, and all of a sudden I'm like, there I am teaching about the moon and the cycles of the moon and the moon centers of the woman, which is a practice that comes from Kundalini yoga that has to do with the fact that every, very similar to what the moon does, like every 2.5 days the energy switches and it's like you're in a completely different place, right? And then 2.5 days later it changes again, and then it changes again, and then it changes again. And so there's this relaxing into the knowing that it's always going to keep changing, you know, like the one constant that we know in life, the only thing that we know is constant, is that everything is always going to change. So for me, like the moon represents like my flow just in general in life. And it, for me, I mean, this is something that I'm literally realizing right now as I'm talking to you, and this is how it goes for me. But the moon is knowing the moon and knowing the cycles of the moon and knowing how like quickly she moves and changes and shifts is to me like the message from like the universe, the planets, whatever you want to call it, that you can just relax. Like, don't try to define things. Don't try to like, you know, put finite things, you know, into your understanding, but always stay open, like always stay open-minded, always stay open to like whatever comes next. It's kind of, it's an interesting thing for me because like I said, I have just kind of fallen into this like moon goddess, like teaching and understanding about it and not realizing that that really is like a really, really amazing way for me as a mental projector to like understand myself and, you know, what I'm going through. So I think that's actually a really great question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the moon has, like, I got the channeled message that this year, 2023, is about reclaiming the moon. I don't necessarily even fully know what that means yet. That's why I was like beckoned to ask, because it's like, this is the storyline, maybe the mystery that's unfolding for, in my personal mythology for this year. So
I love that. No, I love that. Well, to, you know, like the moon to me represents like that divine feminine flow. And it's, but it's so weird to describe or to pin it down, right? Because it's like you kind of can't, but it is, it's like it'll just keep changing and shifting and moving. And I think, well, what it means to me to reclaim the moon is to reclaim our like emotional sovereignty, like that word just came through. It's to reclaim our understanding that, like I was saying, like everything changes, and to surrender to that as being like the answer. Like the answer is found, or like almost like there is no answer, and you can just relax into knowing that there's no answer, there's just questions, you know?
Yeah. I'm getting this sense also in this moment of, from what you're saying, of being able to maintain like your self integrity, no matter like what the fluctuations of the outer is. And even when we have to flow through things that are not ideal and kind of taking us off course of what we feel like we'd like to be doing, we still have this capacity to retain our full beingness in any fluctuation of the external or internal.
Yeah. And also the other thing that comes to me too right now is that the moon in astrology being one of the luminaries, and it sort of having the, what it does, it just reflects to us ourselves. So understanding the moon, which means understanding your emotions, the emotional flows, like the emotional highs and the lows, whether you have like a defined solar plexus or not. I feel like I have like a totally open solar plexus, and that was one of the most difficult things growing up in a home that was very emotionally charged all the time. So, but whether you have it defined or not, I feel like we all can gain wisdom from paying attention to how we feel, whether we consciously know, oh, this is definitely mine or not mine. You know what I mean? Like, because through human design, you have this knowing that, like, well, I'm feeling something, but I'm undefined solar plexus. So it's more of this sort of experiencing maybe someone else's wave or like feeling the emotion. So that's what's so interesting to me is like, and that one center, honestly, is like, it's perplexing. You know, you're like, wait, what? Like when I found out about that one center, it just like kind of drew me in, because I always thought I was a super emotional being. And to learn that like my natural essence is to be like a non-emotional being, it made total sense in a weird way. It's almost like ask backwards. Like there's no possible way that could make sense, but it totally does. So for me, it was like the moon, like knowing the moon, studying the moon, understanding the cycles of the moon, knowing that I'm a mental projector, knowing that I have to pay attention, knowing that my knowing, like, just, it's so interesting. Just like an emotional authority person has to wait to go through the high and the low and then back to neutral and then high and low and then back to neutral, like that constant, it's the same thing almost for me. Even though I'm a non-emotional being, the moon and the transits and other people, like, it affects me so much that even I feel like I go through those emotional waves. It's kind of interesting. That would be a question that I would have for you, is like, how does that all tie into, like, what does it really mean to be like a non-emotional being? I guess the solar plexus is like a huge like center. I mean, there's so much going on, I think, right now too, collectively, like the whole Saturn and Pisces transit that started already pretty much. And like, actually today, right? Today, yeah. Saturn entered the 55th gate.
Yeah.
So there's, and that's in the solar plexus. So I'm just curious, like, what are your thoughts about that connection between like being a non-emotional being and there being like so much activity in the solar plexus? I don't know. I don't even know what I'm asking, but what are your thoughts about what I just said?
Yeah, it's a big one. So 2027 is around the corner, and the mutation in the 55th gate, it brings the churning and the burning of the solar plexus to a halt. It doesn't necessarily stop it or suppress it. It has fulfilled its design of being solar, because it needed to burn through and kind of like create space inside of us. And the only way to do that is through kind of that fire energy of transmutation. 2027 comes, that process of that inner transmutation has completed. So we have this sudden zoom, you know, this like lowering of emotional intensity, because then for those beings that are born after that date that are going to have the full mutation, that center becomes just another awareness center. Not just another, but it becomes, you know, what an awareness center is to us. When we look at the spleen or the ajna, these are not motors anymore. These are places of perception. So the thing is, the solar plexus is like 16 times, if not more, you know, like stronger than mental awareness. It's just HD, it's full bodied, it's the full experience. It's being able to feel and be conscious of like every atom. You know, it's like your perception doesn't just stop at your eyes or your ears anymore. It's one with reality. So that's what the solar plexus is bringing, this reconnection to being in in awareness, in consciousness with everything. So Saturn in Pisces has, you know, it has its shadow expression, it has its gift, and it has its city. It's going to, on the shadow level, what does Gate 55 bring? Victimization. Saturn in Pisces is going to bring victimization. It's also going to eliminate things that create victimization because it doesn't want that. So it's really just going to highlight and bring that stuff up. It's going to say, bah, okay, that's so much victimization there. This is against natural law, perhaps, or this is against what the universe is asking of all of creation in this moment. Then we have the gift and the city, which are the same for Gate 55, which is freedom. So we have Saturn giving us freedom. Freedom from, I would say in the gift level, it's freedom from, you know, like material limitations. And on the city level, freedom from like energetic limitations, which also is showing us that there's already a lot going on and how our perception is shifting and how our consciousness is operating. And we're going to start to see that and feel that. We're going to, it's like almost like Saturn in Pisces illuminates or like reveals the new structures that have been put in place this whole time through the quiet development of the mutation in our bodies, through the reconfiguration of the astral planes, through the Saturn Pluto, you know, fallout, like all of this stuff.
Yes, like at an ethereal level, like at an expansive level. It's like it goes beyond the structures of society, or, you know, like what we think the rules are, to what the real rules are that are so much bigger. And I was thinking about that Saturn in Pisces, because like I start, you know, what I do is astrology. So like that's kind of like my main thing. And I started with astrology, and I'm kind of glad that I did astrology and then discovered the gene keys. And then finally I was like, okay, I'm ready to dive into human design, you know, because it kind of puts it all together in a way. But basically it's, I was thinking about Saturn in Pisces and how would that theme of structure or like laws, you know, fit into the realm of Pisces? And the one thing that it clicked for me today was the laws of the universe. Like that's at the gift and city level, because it makes you realize there is so much more than your perception of what's going on. There's so much more than meets the eye happening behind the scenes, like in the subconscious, right? Like the design, the body represents that. And it's like, there's so much going on that we don't realize, but I feel it's us becoming aware of it, or having the possibility to become aware of it. Not that everyone's going to realize it, because I also know that that's not true, but like in our, everyone's going to experience it in their own way. But I feel like the door is opening to the awareness or the understanding that there's so, that this universe is so much bigger than we think.
Yeah. Yeah. And that can be empowering. It can also be humbling. I think both will happen. I think it's a great time to understand that, you know, if you're going to play by any rules, why not play by the highest rules book, you know, which is the laws of the universe.
Love that.
By accepting these lower, you know, more institutional rule sets, you're limiting yourself, and Right. Whatever karma that those other belief systems or institutions have to face now that Saturn's in Pisces, you have to face it too by having been plugged into that. Whereas if you're playing at the highest level of the universe, there's no karma, which is kind of cool. So that's kind of what human design is. You're living life by the life's rule book, the universal law of the form, of the dark and the light, of the just true mechanics of things. So This is a great time to be living your design, because you might be recipient of Saturn's awesome rewards because you're playing by universal law. And if you're playing by universal law or living by universal law, then you're already in way more alignment and, you know, what we could say sustainability and all these things that we want than you are if you're living from a more disconnected perspective. So I think it's a good time to be getting onto the human design track. And I think also, Saturn and Pisces and the solar plexus, I think solar plexus is also probably one of the most unhealthy centers for people, because it's the gut and it's the lymphatic and it's all these little inner chambers of our body that we don't see and we can't feel. And so they become full of toxicity fairly easily, especially as they're also going under mutation. So there's just a different energy happening there. And so I think we'll see a lot of the issues arising out of what's trapped in our solar plexus coming through the Saturn and Pisces. Emotional energy trapped in the body, toxins trapped in the body, things that we can't normally see or feel turning into something. So it'll be a time of like endings for a lot of people too, unfortunately, because the body is the greatest limitation in the times of mutation.
I love that. And I love that you mentioning that the Saturn in Pisces will be flowing through the solar plexus, because that's what it's going to be doing. I was actually looking into it and I have a question, but we should start wrapping it up too. But the question that I have is, in watching the gates that go from in Pisces, right, where Saturn is going to be going through, which is, well, he's moving into the 55, or he did today, and then the 37, and then the 63, right, and then the 22, the 36, and the 25. My question that came up is why, and this could be such a trivial question, it could be such a small thing that maybe I just don't know about human design yet. It could have a simple answer or a big answer, but I was wondering, why does it go from, for example, the 55 is in the solar plexus, 37 in the solar plexus to the head center, 63, and then back to the solar plexus, and then ends with the G center? I don't know the answer to that, but in my mind, in trying to sort of understand, is it because at some point we have to sort of like come to the head and try to understand something from the space and then move back into the emotions? Or is that how you would interpret that? Or just a question that came up as I was going through that, I was like, wait a minute, how come these gates go into the head center and then back to the solar plexus? I was like perplexed about that.
The way that the gates, aka the hexagrams, progress around the wheel is determined by the base pairs of the actual hexagram. So every hexagram, every gate is a pair of two, three-lined glyphs that represent the nature of that energy.
It's the programming partners, right?
So it can either be a broken line, which is feminine, or a solid line, which is masculine. Every gate, every hexagram has six of these, which are split into two, three-part pieces. So the numbers that we know, like gate 64, gate 37, the numbers came last, and they didn't arise from the order of these hexagrams. They arose from like the West's need to organize these in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We actually look at the wheel of the zodiac and the gates that surround it, and which is the natural clock, you know, nature's clock, basically. what's determining which gate comes after the other is actually those smaller hexagram pieces. And it's a progression. It's like you start with one that has a solid line. Then in the next one, it's a broken line. And then in the next one, it's a broken line and a solid line. So it's like there is an order to it, and it is telling a story. And the numbers being more of the Western and more recent addition don't match up to that. And when it comes to the body graph centers and where those gates fall, that really is just, that's the mystery.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's what I was thinking. It's like, it kind of sounds like we won't really know. We just have to pay attention. We have to look at the energies of those specific sort of gates, like what this energy moves into this one, right? Like the shadow, the gift, the city, like, you know, incorporating that, you know, the terminology of the gene keys. But the idea of like that there's a shadow and a light to everything, that everything has a duality, and then just watching that flow. That's like my next project that I'm like, I can't wait. I have so much to do, but I can't wait to sit down and be like, start with the first one, which is like the 44th technically, right? Because that's like the new 41. Year, right? Is the 41 you said? Yeah. Mm. So, but starting with that one and then watching the flow go from one to the next, which it would take like a long time for me to like do that, but my body wants to do that. Like my everything right now is telling me that that's what I need to do. Like just watch the story. I guess it's the projector thing. I don't know. I just want to know, like, how does the whole thing work? You know, like, what does it mean on that bigger, wider scale? So it's just been something that I've been diving into. I think it's super, super interesting. And yeah, coming back to the whole, you know, Saturn in Pisces, it's just us diving into that emotional realm. And then Pisces is that way too. It's like infinite, you know, emotion. The ability to feel, to me, the ability to tap into like emotion in like very, very expansive ways, in a sense.
Like in the way that I see it in human design, emotion is the energy of our unlimited self downloading into the physical body. So what we experience as emotion really to me is like a psychedelic side effect of our soul trying to download more into our physical body, which is a treasure chest of trauma and stories and just information, you know, genetic material. And so we're having like this like, whoa, like feeling of things. And really it's just our soul coming in and like triggering all this old stuff to come up and purge out because they can't coexist, the low vibration and the high vibration. And that's the era that we're living in. That's just what we're doing. That's our service, is to live through this. And that's another beautiful piece to really recognize, is that this life isn't about needing to fulfill a material potential. This life isn't about even needing to fulfill like a reproductive potential. This is about you being in the passenger seat for something that is a very unique experience, has never happened, will never happen again. And it's only happening for a short, 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 short time.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, that's a lot of really good extra information to just enjoy the ride here and not be so hard on ourselves about what we're not, and to be more generous with ourselves, right? With who we are.
Yeah. Have you heard of Matias De Stefano?
Yeah, he does a great job.
You know, he talks about, I don't think he has a clue about what human design is. He's a manifester though, just side note.
I can see it.
Yeah, me too. But the way that I've taken a lot of his workshops and stuff, he talks about emotions as opening the doors, but once you walk through the doors, the emotion can't come with you. Mm-hmm. Like they open the door for you to realize something, to see something. It's like a calling, like, hey, a siren goes off. like something important you have to pay attention to here is going on, right? It's like that communication from the soul. And then you step through the door, but the emotion stays behind. And that's you stepping into that space of neutrality to be able to actually see the truth without, like, it's like you're in the eye of the storm and the emotions like swirling around you, but you find that place of neutrality to help you understand what to see it clearly. I think it's just so, it really helps me to like bring the two together, what you were just saying.
Yeah, just like in human design, you don't want to take action out of a high or a low, right, whether you're emotional or not, mm-hmm, emotionally defined or not, because
right,
it's not, it's only part of the information, is mm-hmm what he's saying. It's not the full story. It's just the starting point. And you know what I think? I think that emotional thing, you know, whether it's a high or a low, that's the beginning of a detox process.
Ooh,
that's what's actually happening there. And you can either be with that detox process and support it, or you can let it trigger you and take crazy action because something that's actually not you and never was is trying to not have to leave your system.
Wow, that one was like a... I love that. That was really powerful. Yes, I think everybody needs to understand that for sure. And it is, it's like the process of healing takes on the need to let go of everything that you're not, right? Like going all the way back to the beginning, the process of human design or learning your human design and that 7-year like experiment is about unlearning everything that you're not. And like an onion, almost like peeling away everything that you're not, is to find the core, like what's at the core, what's at the center of like who you individually in this specific time and space and lifetime is here to experience. And when you undo all of that and when you let go of all of that, it's like that's the freedom, the connection to the 55th gate. That's kind of crazy. But yeah, it's just, yeah. Anyways. Thank you.
Great show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. I know that people are going to, I mean, every time that I've heard you on podcasts or, you know, with the Leo King and all that stuff, I mean, it's like mesmerizing to listen to you talk, and you have so much wisdom that just kind of pours through you, and you are very articulate and like poetic with your words. I just want to tell you that I'm really grateful to have, you know, found you and like, in my life, and I'm really grateful for you as a teacher of human design. I feel like I'm getting so much out of like everything, the cognition community, everything. So I would love for you to share with us, like, how can someone find you? How can someone work with you? If you have any programs that are coming up that you would like to share, I want to kind of open up the floor for you to do that.
Thank you. I mean, I'm also very grateful for you. You've been an amazing, like, member in the forefront of the community and just bringing so much positivity and just light. And I just, that's what it's all about. So thank you. And for having me today. And then for finding stuff, hdmaven.com is the website. The community that is free, and we just do, you know, full and new moon meetings on Zoom and kind of just connect over the energy and read the energy and just share, and each one is different. That's cognitioncommunity.com, and also a great place to just share and meet people. And then Human Design Maven on Instagram. I think that's good enough. Yeah, those three will suffice.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much again for being here with me today. And yeah, I'm so excited for how everything unfolds for you. And I know that right now it's kind of a, like you said, it's kind of a wild and awesome time to be alive. So excited to have you here on this show today. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so, everybody out there.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Channel for Grace Uncut Podcast. If you loved this episode and this podcast, make sure you subscribe and leave a review. You can find me on MeWe and YouTube as at Channel for Grace, and you can discover a world of amazing offerings on my website. If you want to learn astrology, if you want to learn about what it means to discover your inner sacred feminine, if you're curious about how the current astrology is affecting you, if you want a private astrology reading, compatibility, or tarot oracle readings, and if you're looking for sweet handmade zodiac themed jewelry and other designs, go to my website, www.channelforgrace.guru. I will see you again on our next episode.